Shalom, today's daf yomi is Baba Basra, daf kuf samach Baba Basra 160. And today's daf yomi, we begin the 10th chapter of Baba Basra, and this is the last chapter of all of the three mesechtos of the Baba Tama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra. And this chapter is called Get Pashut. A get literally means a contract. It most often means in the Talmud to be a bill of divorce, but it can also refer to any contract. And so therefore, our Gemara is talking about a contract. So our Mishnah tells us that there are two types of contracts. There's what's called a get pashut and a get mekushar. And so our Mishnah is going to tell us some of the differences between a get pashut and a get mekushar. A get pashut is basically a plain document where the witnesses sign at the bottom of the document, and says our Mishnah, get pashut edav mitocho, the witnesses sign at the bottom of the document. However, get mekushar edav me'achorav, the witnesses sign on the back. What are they signing on the back of it? So Rashbam offers his explanation. There are many explanations of the Rishonim, three primary ones, but Rashbam's explanation is that the scribe writes a line and then leaves a line blank. And then what happens is he folds over the line that was written, and he is tofer. He presses it down. Tofer literally means to sew, and he presses down the part that is written over the blank document. And then on top of that, and this is what the Gemara tells us on the witness comes and sign over the folded over part. So the witness is signing from the outside. And the Gemara also tells us, we learned this in Gittin, that on each of the folds there needs to be a witness that signs it. And so there must be at least three folds in every document. So there must be at least three witnesses on a get mekushar. Even though the get mekushar was a common way of writing a contract in the time of the Talmud never explicitly tells us exactly how the get mekushar looked. So that's why some of the Rishonim are debating exactly how it looked, because they are speculating to a certain degree. So what is the reason why we need to have a get mekushar? What's the reason why it was folded over to begin with? What's the reason why we have this laborious process in the creation of the document? So the Gemara tells us it refers to basically a time where a get also meant a divorce, and so therefore there was asra de kahani havo, that it was a place of kohanim, vahavakapti tuva, and the kohanim, these kohanim were, they had very short fuses and were concerned that they were going to lose their temper, umegarshin eshayu, and in a moment where they lost their temper, they would divorce their wife. And we know that if a kohen divorces his wife, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, so he might come to divorce his wife out of anger, and so therefore he is going to be unable to remarry her. And as a result of this, the rabbis instituted a takana, avdi rabbanan takana, arahachi v'hachi misvedatayu. Because in the meanwhile, while he's taking such a long time to prepare the document, to fold it over, to sew it, and to have a new witness sign on each folded over, that is going to cause the Kohen to have perhaps a cooling off period, and he's not going to divorce his wife unless he really intends to, and not just doing it out of anger. And so the Gemara asked the question, well, this works for a bill of divorce, a get that is a bill of divorce, but a get that is a regular contract, why do we need to have this cooling off period? Why don't they just do a get pashut? Why do we need a get mekushar by a regular document? So the Gemara asked that question, and the Gemara explains, kidesh lo techalek ben gitin l'shtaros, because we don't want to make any distinctions between a bill of divorce and other contracts. And so therefore, since if we weren't going to make regular contracts mekushar, then people wouldn't do it also by a get of that comes to divorce a woman. And so therefore, the rabbis instituted that it should be a get mekushar. And therefore, we have this concept of a get mekushar, both by a bill of divorce and by regular contract. But the Rashbam explains that when the Kohanim did this, they were divorcing their wives out of anger. And so the Torah Chaim points out that we see from here that if a person makes an action out of anger, even though his mind is not completely at ease with what he's doing, nevertheless, we view this as a legally binding act. And so therefore, that's why we need to institute this action in order to prevent the Kohanim from acting out of anger. Because if they would have divorced their wife out of anger, indeed it would have been legally binding. standing, and it would have been a big problem. And so therefore, they instituted the get mekusher. Not everybody agrees with this approach of the Torah Slayim. In the Tshuvas Maharim, he explains that actually, if you just spoke and did something with words alone out of anger, that would not be legally binding. What's different in this case, the reason why it's legally binding, even though perhaps you were saying something out of anger and you didn't really mean it, is because there was an action accompanied with the words. And so therefore, you didn't just say something, you actually wrote a contract out, or you had a scribe write a contract. So that's why, under this case, it would be legally binding. But normally, if somebody says something, for example, fires a person, for an employee, or acts in a certain way towards an employee out of anger, that would not necessarily be the case, that action was legally binding. The Pnei Shlomo draws a different distinction. He says, no, normally speaking, that if somebody does something out of anger and it's really not his true intent, we don't view it as legally binding, even if there's an action accompanying it. Here, the reason why it was legally binding was because of the stringency relating to a kohen and divorcing a woman and marrying her again. And so since we don't want to have any leniencies with respect to a kohen marrying a divorcee, that's why this case is viewed so stringently, and that's why we have to protect against it. But normally speaking, we would not hold a person responsible necessarily if it is not his true intent and he only acted out of anger.